of course, is our podcast. We haven't been with you for a month. Lots of things going on. Bill Kelly and Joe Kelly here, father and son, horse players. And we've got a lot of things to talk about. First off, tonight, a little tough getting a hold of you because I understand you were getting your Versace suit ready for an interview with Brody over at the for the new job.
That's right. He's got me. I think I'm in the top 5,000.
5,000, but you're at least going to get an interview, right?
No.
So what do you think of the move?
Oh, it had to happen. I mean, it was ridiculous. And they got rid of Riggleman too.
Yeah, maybe just keep Chili Davis, or I don't know.
Well, I'm sure they're going to keep him, and I'm sure they're going to keep the pitching coach. And
Phil Pan.
the other guy, the guy that he could end up the manager.
Rojas.
Huh?
Rojas.
Yeah, Rojas, right.
Yeah.
I'd like to see him take a look at Ventura and who's coaching who's the manager over in Brooklyn?
Backman? No.
No. It's the old
Oh,
third base.
Alfonso.
Yeah,
Alfonso.
Alfonso.
Yeah.
Keep it in the house. The
Right.
problem is it comes down to the management doesn't like to spend on their manager, But
Yeah.
you've got three, ex four actually, very experienced managers out there on the job line. You've got Madden, you've got Socha,
Right. Showalter.
Showalter, and who was the manager of
Clint Hurdle.
Clint Hurdle's? Did he get fired?
Yeah, by the Pittsburgh.
Yeah,
Trying to
and
think of.
no, he's an he was an Amer a draft. He actually played for the Mets, I think, the first
Yeah, he
short.
did. Yeah.
They was he. Was he in the trade that brought them Cone and
He
Jeff?
might have.
What?
I might have, because he was like the boy matinee idol, and they brought him up, and he only played a couple. Yeah.
And there's one more. They
John Gibbons. Oh, he was fired a little while back.
yeah. No, I'm thinking of well, Gibbons is was a Met.
Right.
I was thinking of the old Yankee,
Girardi.
Girardi.
Oh yeah, that's the big fish. Yeah.
But that, I mean, he may be. He's always wanted to go to Chicago, apparently. I find it's interesting. I find it unless they start changing the rule with DH throughout the league, I think it's difficult for. Although Girardi has managed in the National League, it's hard for me to see, and I think that's one of the things that Callaway was—he—he he never managed in the where you had a nine, nine batter with a pitcher hitting, and some of his moves were. Very questionable. He was always constantly doing double switches, and I thought they were a mistake, So,
Now, what's your take? Do you think before he drove cross country back to his home, do you think they told him before he left?
oh, I think he made that story a long time. I'm kidding. So, I
Yeah.
think the only thing that would have saved him was. Possibly, if he had gotten into the World Series, that might have saved him.
Right.
But they put so much emphasis now on the one-game playoff games, making that game. It's ridiculous. You're gonna.
Yeah, I don't like that game. I don't know.
No, I mean, to have it's like a seventh game of a playoff,
Right.
a World Series. But in reality, it's. For a team to change its roster or whatever, to go ahead and do that in the hopes of making a one-game playoff doesn't make a lot of sense to me.
Right.
Right. So, but he did. To me, he never did a good job. And Brody didn't. I mean, Cano finally turned it on. It was decent at the end of the season after the All-Star game. But the Mets never needed him. I think they, you know, to take on that amount of money, give up all their two best, minor league players, and their best, never made sense to me. I mean, what they didn't do is they didn't value McNeil like they should have. You know, I mean, he could have played the whole year at second base. And
it'll be interesting. Yeah. Mm.
So, in any event, let's talk horses.
Yeah, let's talk horses. Baseball for another time. And we're here. You traveled cross country to Florida and back in California. And I think you're in Vegas right now, right?
Yeah, I'm in Vegas.
Okay. For a little bit, right?
Yeah. But just for
so we got we've got another boutique meet opening up for the fall, Keeneland out in Lexington, Kentucky, and they've got a bang up weekend. They open tomorrow for the fall season, and of course Belmont's still going for a few more weeks. Mm. And tomorrow supposed to be nice weather out in Lexington, and we're looking at Friday's races, and we've got Keeneland, which is allowance optional claiming the sixth race of 7 furlong on the dirt. You see any potential plays in this particular heat?
I have the 1-7 on top. And basically it's 1-7 with a 1-4-5. The Friday races, I mean, Belmont, to me, is a very weak card.
Yeah. And mostly you mean on Friday, right?
Huh?
You're talking Friday?
I'm talking Friday, yes.
Yeah.
Which so is I didn't see a whole lot there. Right. The Keeneland, the two stakes races are at grade 2 and the race 8. And I had the 4-7. The 4 across the board, actually, and the 7 seems to he likes to win and he likes to finish third. He doesn't seem to like to finish the second at all. So
right,
really, really strange.
How about your old buddy, Mr. Biancone, and the 5 diamond hoops? Any?
Looking at it, I mean, his last race was terrific. So,
but it was on. Oh yeah, right.
So I mean, his last two races are one was a grade one, and one was a grade three. Mm-hmm. Looked very good, you know. But I don't know who's riding Lemoon. Leperu, yeah. Biancone, Patrick really normally places his horses in good spots, so I guess you have to throw him in there.
Mm-hmm. So, and all, how about the 3? Did you see anything with Whitmore?
Whitmore, yeah, he's a good horse, but he it looks like he may have gone over the top here. Well, he's coming back off a long rest.
And his last few have been. Nothing.
Like yeah. He's a 6-year-old.
Right.
So against good talent, I think he may be up against it.
Right.
So, but. So
That's race 8 at Keeneland, which is the, wow, what a long name for a stakes race. The Stoll Keenan Ogden Phoenix Stakes, grade 2.
But, You'll have missed the bet by the time if you try to pronounce it and go to the
go to the window.
Well, the 9th race. I'm looking at it and saying, oh, gee, okay.
So we've got Keeneland tomorrow, the Alcibiades Stakes, which is a really great showcase for the 2-year-old fillies. Most of them stretch it out, When you're looking at a race like this with a lot of uncertainty, if they can handle the distance in the two turns, how do you go about kind of centering in on your place?
Well, I think you mean going from the sprint to the route?
Yeah, yeah.
I think that there are interesting. I was listening to Barry Meadow on the local station here yesterday, and he, you know, you have his book, right?
I read portions of it. I don't have the book, but I've read portions of it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I've heard him previously mention that one of the strong trends to keep in mind is the blinkers off versus blinkers on. Blinkers right. off is an ROI that's with a positive ROI, where blinkers off or blinkers on doesn't win as much as would be expected. He has a negative ROI.
Right.
But yesterday he also talked about, they were talking about trainers. Trainers that win, particularly on favorites, usually have a good success with those type of races. You know,
right.
they if they have a good ROI or a good winning percentage, they're usually pretty good. While trainers who don't have a high enough winning percentages don't win any, or don't win as much.
You're talking about favorites.
It doesn't change because they have a horse that's, you know, in the top three, let's say. Mm-hmm. You know, the losses are the same, whether they just don't win their fair share. But horses that jockeys, on the other hand, who have seem to have no effect, whether they're, you know, on a favorite or on a long shot, a high winning percentage jockey is ROI wise is no better than a low percentage. If the low percentage horse has a guy, jockey has a good winning percentage. I mean, low percentage. Let me get this straight. If a low winning, below 10, let's say, mm-hmm. jockey,
right,
is on one of the top three horses,
right,
his winning percentage is, or his chance of winning is no less than the high jockey. So if a high winning jockey switches to a low winning horse, doesn't mean anything. The jockey doesn't have as much of influence as the trainer. Now, if a high winning jockey moves to a high winning horse trainer, that's something to look for, you know?
Right, right. So
in any event, so that's, you know.
So this is a pretty interesting race. You've got father and son going against each other. You've got Mark Cassie's been standout with 2-year-olds lately. Mm-hmm. And his son has a pretty solid horse by the name of Heir of Light, which,
got
you
it.
Know, what, yeah.
And what, but, what does his dad have?
His dad has, Perfect Alibi with Jose Ortiz, and was the winner of the Spinaway up in Saratoga, and also the Adirondack, 2 wins up in Saratoga. So it should be the morning line. It is the morning line.
It is the morning line. He's got Ortiz on board.
Right, right. So,
you know, I noticed that Ortiz, when he switches to the horse that his brother previously won on, mm-hmm. He is normally not as successful as his brother. Although in this case, his brother's not even at Keelan.
Right.
So, I guess the horses too. So you look at a horse like the 4, McGahee. His winning percentage from a switch from a sprint to a route is higher than his normal winning percentage. So you got to take a look at that that horse, because it looks like he's he that is one of the areas that he is proficient at.
Mm-hmm. So that's the number four, Alondra.
Yeah.
Oh, Mark Cassie also has the 10 Western Taffy.
Okay, let me look at. He's got. Yeah, well, see, you got to look at that horse, because this is where Cassie had when he switches circuit, he wins not as well as he normally does on dirt.
Okay,
but his first route, and he's not a great sprint to route trainer. Turf to dirt, yeah, no, I don't necessarily like that move. But the trainer jockey combo is 28% win percentage, which is pretty high. And which is his other horse?
Well, he's got the morning line favorite, the 7 Perfect Alibi with Ortiz we talked about.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
But this horse, the first two starts has had trouble breaking from the gate, but first and second, so.
First and second, but that was way back in June, right? The Belmont and
July and August. We're talking about the 11 Western Taffy. The 10 Western Taffy. Yeah.
I think of the Cassie horses, I would think the 10 would be the one to look at.
Okay.
And but, you know, four. The problem with 2-year-olds is they're after one or two races, these horses tend to improve. You know, I mean, even looking at this horse, the 10, he had, in time form, he was an 85 on synthetic, and then a 91 on turf. And this is dirt, so you're a little hesitant. And Keelan, by the way, is really early pace horses, or trackers or speed horses. Mm-hmm. It's hard to come from way behind in that track.
Right.
But that, again, that's, these 2-year-old but can change dramatically from, race to race.
And how do you like Asmussen and Santana with 21 on the morning line of the number 2 3D flag?
Who's trainer?
Asmussen and Santana.
Yeah, well, they're 20% win percentage together.
Yeah.
See, here's a horse. It was at Ellis, but here's a horse that improved 28% speed rating wise from start 1 to start 2.
Right.
But he looks to be more of a turf horse than a dirt horse.
Right. So maybe there's a reason it's 20-1.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, we'll see. That's the only races we had picked for that.
Yeah. For Friday and, Belmont.
Saturday seems to be a good stakes.
Oh yeah. They piled the stakes of both Belmont and also Santa Anita and of course Keeneland. So, we can start the 6th race at Belmont on Saturday. This is Win at the Horses. Phil Kelly and Joe Kelly talking about horses, handicapping, a little bit of baseball, a little bit of life. And this 6th race at Belmont, 2-year-olds, the fillies again. We're staying in the same category, but this is on the inner turf, 6 furlong stakes, the matrons. So, looking at sprints, I don't know. I kind of like the number 3 time limit.
Okay.
Mike Maker. I don't know. I've been reading a lot of stuff, and horses that have an experience on the turf in sprints, they say that speed and dirt can transform to turf without a problem. I don't know. What's your take on that?
You know, at one time it was always a big positive angle. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I think it's still, you have to take a look at the breeding. First of all, the trainer.
You know? Right.
I mean, Brown can successfully do that. And I'm sure there are others that are very good at that, you know. But it's, I don't think there's any clear rule on that, personally.
Okay.
In my mind.
So how about this race? How do you see things shaping up, a small field of six?
Probably, unless you can find a horse that is a significant. I mean, you look at this race, and the five looks to have the speed. I'm struggling with this one.
You're talking character.
What's the restriction on this race? Is it a 3-year old or four?
No, 2-year old fillies.
Oh, uh-huh. Yeah, that'll get you.
Yeah.
So, I mean, to me, unless you're using it for a pick three, or you got a horse in the next race, a double, or the one before it, or this is the kind of race you really can't make much money. I mean, looking at the prices, the six classy Sadie, looks, you know, would be the only horse I think I'd be really looking at. And the negatives there are, I mean, this, the trainer is 0-35 this year.
At Belmont.
At Belmont, yeah. I mean, right. That's, you know, and you got a 3-52 rider. So this falls right into the category of he's a long price horse with a trainer that's, you know, hasn't been winning, you know, and a horse that's 1-5. So, you know, if any horse is value, I mean, it can be value if the price is right, you know?
Right.
So, I mean, I would demand 15 to 1 at the very least, because consider the horse, you know?
Right. So maybe a stay away race.
I would think so, unless you got something that that's in a you know, in a one of the double pick three, or I wouldn't even say pick four.
Right.
Okay.
So let's move on to Belmont Park, the eighth race, which is the Hill Prince Stakes Grade 2, mile and an eighth on the inner turf for 3-year-olds, which is this is a really interesting race. Big, well, not a super, but there's 9 horses in here and a lot of great trainers. And your guy out of the West Coast, Richard Baltus, and who's over here now a lot.
Yeah.
Right. This, you know, this is power packed, this race.
This is race 6, right?
Race 8, Belmont, race Saturday. Eight. Yeah.
Yeah. I just found my notes on the race 6.
Okay.
I had the 1 and the 8 to win, 1-3-5 to second, and 1-5 third, you know? So,
you're talking 6? No, you're talking Saturday?
No, that's wrong. I'm sorry.
That's all right.
I got two.
Sorry.
I got two the Friday races and Hang on, just let me pull this up.
Okay.
The and this is race eight. Okay.
Mile and an eighth, inner turf, the Hill Prince, 3-year-olds, yeah.
So I don't know why I'm having so much trouble with this. Okay.
We've got Chad Brown in here, Billy Mott, Mark Henning, and an invader from France, Jean-Claude Rouget, the trainer, Junior Alvarado.
Okay.
Excuse me.
Ooh. Wow. The stumbling is I thought I had started doing these races, and I missed this one.
Okay.
But let me take a quick peek, and then I can see if I see something really.
So this would be interesting. You're looking at a race off from the get-go. What do you first look at a field like this? Where do you gravitate towards evaluating?
Well, the first thing I look at is the anticipated pace of the race.
Okay.
You know? I mean, I looked at the Monday night Hong Kong races. I went back and looked at them. And if you look at that card, the most of the winners, other than Beauty's generation, most of the card was all either what am I thinking? I'm thinking of a PS. In other words, kind of near the back, but with a good close, right?
Okay. Yeah.
Where the horses you could almost eliminate in all of those races was the closers, the deep closers. They just never got there. Mm-hmm. I don't think there was any race that a deep closer actually
yeah.
won it.
Yeah, they were getting third and fourth.
Yeah, it was a track that. I think it was A plus three, right? And so it should have been a track that sweeping wide into the stretch, you had a shot.
Right.
But on Monday night, they didn't have, they weren't getting close. You know, Hong Kong, just a tip, but Hong Kong, if you look at their site with their PPs, et cetera, they have, you know, on the results, right. You can see, you don't have to watch the replays. They have excellent pictures of how to race the horse. You know, at 400, 800.
I've looked at those aerial views, and you could see if I kind of look at where a horse came in first or second and what kind of pattern they did.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. So it was a. Very, very interesting. So the same thing can apply to any track, really. I mean, you know, they say, well, the look at the replays of the horses that are in the race, and you get a good picture of the pace, and you know what things are going to happen. You know, so that's. You know, that's good. So let's take a look at this race.
Okay.
Looking at the race, the pace looks to be the only speed, true speed in the race, is the two, a thread of blue. He's got, looks like a very big speed over the next horse is the eight. So there's not a lot of speed in this race. I mean, there won't be much pressure on the two from the eight.
Right.
And well, let's look at this two first of all. This two is, I mean, his last three, four runs actually were decent, you know.
Right.
I mean, his speed rating on the race he won was 116, and the anticipate, which is what the anticipated speed rating to win this race is 116. So he matches that. He beat the Digital Ace is also in this race, and that's the five, who happens to be Chad Brown. You certainly can't bet against him.
No, not so, wise.
And that's there. Digital Ace is. This is. I'm beginning to learn to watch. Digital Ace. The race before this race, he came in fourth against Henley's Joy, that won. So
right.
He lost to the one, mm-hmm. He lost to the two, and he beat the two one time, and. So those are the horses he's run against, but he's a contender. Yeah, I wouldn't throw him out. I would say he's a contender, and certainly his his trainer and jockey win at a. Although the time form is saying it's cold, the
know,
two combos, yeah. But they're winning at 28%.
I was just about to say, I'm looking at that saying, oh, who's making that determination?
Well, I'm not sure who is doing it, but I don't know how long they take into account. How long that designation comes in. It may only be a 2 week period or something, you know. And the other horse in here.
How about the number eight? Interesting. Your blinkers off maneuver. Richard Balt is outstanding figures for that.
That looks to be a very, and it's way above his normal winning percentage. You know, mm-hmm. I mean, it's a 98 if you look at it. So that's a very positive. Figure.
And he just recently flew to the East Coast, was working September 29th out in Santa Anita.
This horse?
Yeah, so it hasn't been on the East Coast for a while.
Yeah. Yeah. Since, well, I don't think has he ever been in?
No, he hasn't raced, but he shipped, you know.
Oh,
he's still out. Yeah.
Workouts.
Yeah, right. He's still out. California on the 29th.
Yeah, he must have. I don't see where did he. I don't think he worked anywhere else between the Santa Anita and.
Yeah, it's all been out your way.
Yeah, yeah. So yeah, I mean he's been all over the place working.
Right.
So yeah, the blinkers on or blinkers off is a very right. positive step. So I would say he'd be a – so, I mean, the horses we want to look at are one, three, or one, two. But let me take a look at this French horse. Well, the interesting thing about it, he's cutting back in distance. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, he's won at his maiden at a mile on soft ground. He's okay. Never been on fast, hard ground, you know. He's been on good, but good in the Europe is, well, that's perm ground really here. Mm-hmm. So he's got a heck of a record. I mean, he's finished, what, third, first, second, first?
Right.
So he's due to lose.
That's it.
And the morning line maker doesn't think highly of him.
David Aragona, yeah.
Yeah. No, yeah, he is the...
yeah.
So I can see where in Belmont they really favor the time form.
Yeah, that's right.
Pace figures, you know. Mm-hmm. Did you see anything else here that looked interesting?
No, that was pretty much it. I know people have been talking about Bourbon War. I don't know if it's a friend of mine, if he's got a share of ownership in it, but I've heard them mention Bourbon War, but it's only ran once on the turf, lost by only half a length, but.
Yeah. Yeah.
That should be, you know. That
well, let Price be your guide, you know. I mean, hey, the other one you got to take a look at is the seven.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Brown puts Velasquez up, and who's hot with him, you know? And he's another one that shows a loss, win, loss, win, and the next one is a loss.
So that's what's going to happen, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, yeah. He's the longer price of the two Browns, right?
Yes, yeah. Well, yeah, just by a shade, yeah.
All right. Okay. Yeah.
So
well,
you're
betting on whether the jockey combination is cold, as the five is, or hot,
right.
as the seven is.
Yeah, that'll... You know, either way, you got solid connections, and these are top of the line horses.
Yeah,
young horses. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
So moving on to the 10th, a one turn mile at Belmont Park. Track should be fast. It'll be drying out tomorrow. The Champagne Stakes, Grade 1 for 2-year-olds, which is, you know, a race down the line. People kind of look back in Derby evaluation. Is one of the prep races in 2-year-olds. Did you get a chance to look at this one?
Let me just take a look at my notes here. This race traditionally is a speed, heavily speed race.
Right.
So and it looks like the five needs the lead, and he's a poor under pressure. So you got to think that Godzilla is up against it if things go to get him. Although it's probably Asmussen and Santana are excellent together. You know, he's the stable jockey really. I'd think about something else. Let's see what the others.
You know, the favorite's going to be Green Light Go, which, you know, this horse has done everything right in its two starts.
Yeah, he looks like he's got the right running style too. You know,
right. I mean,
He'll close a bit. He won't be on the lead. Be close to the lead, but not on it. And he he's got a shot at trying to find him. Oh yeah,
yeah.
Overall, he's got the better. Speed, rating, overall rating, you know?
Right.
So I would, he was a definite candidate, yep. Where else?
I don't know. I think it's going to take a tough, well, Gozill, well, we already spoke about maybe find it a little too tough if get some pressure.
Yeah, I would say the three is a definite problem, you know?
Yeah.
And I would put him as my number one.
Right.
So,
how about three technique, the four?
Four. Okay.
Well, this is another Ortiz brother switch, probably because one of them's out in Keeneland, but.
Yeah, I would say that is not, I would put him behind the three.
Right.
Okay. But the three has a real master pace advantage over the entire field, you know. So he's an odds, you know. The morning line is odds on, but he, you know, if you get 5-2, I'd take it
on the three. Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. The odds are three and a half to one. I would say I'd go as low as 5-2, 2-1 on that horse in relationship to the field, you know?
Right.
And maybe look around to play a double with the eight, you know? Mm-hmm. And the double with the horses that we picked outside.
Yeah.
So, you know, a few of those with the three, I think, may be a play. And right. That was a good, you know, play is, would be to take the three in the last race, mm-hmm. and put it all with the ninth. And who do we have in the eighth? I've even forgotten that. We
had the two and the eight.
Two and the eight.
Right.
Okay. So maybe two and eight, all three.
There you go. And make sure you press submit.
Isn't Belmont a 50 cents minimum?
For the pick three?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think they've reduced it, yeah.
So that could be a good play for Sunday, huh? Or Saturday.
Saturday.
Yeah.
So we're gonna jump back to Keeneland, going back and forth between the two tracks. Race six is a 5.5 on the turf, the Woodford.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, a nice field of 10 sprinters. How did you look at this one?
I don't know. I'm switching back and forth and I've lost my I've lost it.
Sorry.
So hang on, let me put this up real quick.
Our month of vacation didn't sharpen us.
No.
Myself.
And certainly the trip on Monday to California didn't help.
It was
back and forth. That's a killer for you, I'll tell you.
You did it in one day?
Yeah, oh yeah.
Oh wow.
All the trips are one day now.
Oh wow. So that's like 6 hours on the road, right?
It's an 8 hours round trip.
Oh, how many coffees?
There were a few.
Okay.
There has to be.
Yeah, exactly.
So, and what's the race we're looking at now?
Looking at the Turf Sprint Stakes, the Woodford, the sixth race at Keeneland. Which is a 5.5, a grade two. It's got some really nice horses in here.
Mm.
Doug okay. O'Neill.
In this race, if I remember correctly, I looked at there was – There was a there were horses in here that I thought were over the top. Maybe I'm confusing a race here. The horses that, I mean, to me, the horse that's most you know, to me, who should be the favorite is the two.
Okay.
And then there's I would think that horse has got a lot going for him. It's one of those Ortiz brothers.
Yeah. And just a solid record overall. This horse is always right in there.
Yeah. So, and his last three efforts are a win, a second close up, and a win.
Right.
So, but this one has the same kind of pattern: a loss, a win, a loss. And a win. So you almost got to say to yourself, okay, he's good. I can see that. But I better back him up with a place bet.
Right, right. Yeah, exactly. It's uncanny how they are working like that the last five or six races.
And if you look, it continues on. I mean, it goes down to the December 29th. He finished second by 2.5, won his next race, okay? Lost his the next race, won, you know, then lost. Very consistent, but
he'll be beaten by a length and a half in this one, running second.
You got to take a look at that because at Keeneland, he's only run once on Keeneland and finished third.
Right.
So again, but he wasn't far out. Now, he hasn't faced any of the runners that he's facing right now. So let's look for who can beat him.
Well, the one is trying turf for the first time. I don't know. This might just be.
Nah, that's the one. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, how's this three? He ran a couple of times where, you know. I think it's 12 numbers, 3, 6, 9, 10 runs. Last 10 runs, he had 1, 2, 3 winning speed numbers.
Right. You know?
So, and let's take a look at the 7 looks like he's got the speed. If you want a horse on the lead, I would say the 7 looks like something that could be. And he's 12-1. He's got Giroux, all right? Yeah, he only wins with the trainer, Ortiz. He only wins 29%.
Yeah, that's all. He's cold.
Really, really bad.
Yeah. And the race two back, the speed number would definitely be right in.
Right in there. I mean, he's right in there, and he's going to be. See, this way, that's why they rate this as a speed number is. I mean, a highly pressured race. In the first quarter, because you've got the 2, the 7, and the 8, all gunning for it. And you've got the 3. Now, the 3 looks like he could be something that my good friend Paco on him. And it's interesting that he wins 23% with this trainer who's on the East Coast.
Right.
Normally, Orsino. And he's a very good trainer at turf. And what's the age of this horse? Five years old. So that's another, you know, possible contender. Mm-hmm. He didn't do. He was finished 2¾ or 3/4 off the 2 and the 3 here, or the two in his last. I'm sorry. He finished. What did he finish? Yeah, no, just a 1¼ lengths behind Smart Remark, who is a 6.
Mm-hmm.
The 6 is a definite come from behind horse. You know?
Right.
Finishes hard, but he is. Let's see how his distance. I would say the 6 is an underneath horse, because he has at 5½ on turf, he's 2/5 on turf sprints dry. He's 3%. He finishes second 3 times. So he's never run at Keelan, but I would say he's, you know, I wouldn't take that as a negative, because most Keelan's never a real long. It's kind of a boutique,
right?
Track. So I wouldn't take that as a negative. Okay. And do we have anything else here?
I think we covered that race, you know, pretty good on there.
Yeah.
So we're going to move
to the 7th race, right?
Yeah, we're going to go to the 7th, which is the Thoroughbred Club of America Stakes. A nice sprint for fillies and mares. And trying to think, how's the pressure? It looks like a highly pressured race.
Yeah. I mean, you got real quick horses. I mean, you look at this thing and they've got 2 trackers and a leader and the 3 or 4 mid pack horses. So you got real pressure up on top. You
know? Right.
So let's see what else. Who is
your West Coast guy, Mr. Miller, who's
he's not, dead.
That's a, what's that?
Which one is that?
He's got the 3 with Castellano, the Spice Perfection.
Yeah, well, he's got kind of a weak jockey on there.
Yeah, so yeah, hold the money for that guy. Yeah.
So looking at this, they're not forecasting a really hot pace, but I mean that can be misleading.
Right.
I would say that horse has got the. He should be he would be to me a definite contender, and then you got the 6, another overrated jockey, huh?
Yeah, doesn't know how to judge pace at all. Yeah,
the 6 is he is a. Out of 17 runs in his career, he's finished in the money first or second 13 times. So yeah, I would say he's 1/1 on at Keelan, 1/1 on distance, 8/9 on at 6½, no matter where he runs. So he's got to be a horse to contend with.
So Santana's riding that.
I've got,
Rosario's on him.
Rosario, yeah.
On so Asma, of course, yeah.
Does Santana have another horse, or is
he may be out at Belmont? No.
No. Oh, yeah. That's right.
So, yeah. Maybe that's the reason.
Yeah, so I would say the
Yeah, he's out
six.
at Belmont, so he can't be two places at one time. That's why.
See, interesting race. I mean, because you look at this race, the horse with the overall pace advantage would be number nine, Uncle Benny. I'm looking at the wrong race. Excuse me. We're looking at the seventh race, right?
Yeah, we're at the seventh.
I'm sorry. Hang
That's
on.
okay.
Let's look. Well, look at there is a lot of pace in this race. I
Right.
would say in the first two calls, you're looking at three, four horses that like to be on the first call and second call, and the deep closer would be the five.
Right.
So, and it's a highly pressured race in all directions there, So number five would be of interest. And he looks like he may be that may be a long shot play.
Yeah, he's been working well over at Belmont, had a bullet workout just about a week ago.
What was his who's the trainer? Oh,
McLaughlin.
Kieran.
Yeah.
Gaffleon who screwed up the Derby.
Still holding against him.
But everybody says it was the horse that services horse caused the
Yeah.
problem. The
Right.
real problem was caused by the Gaffleon's horse. Because if you look at that race as they turn into the stretch, if Gaffleon had gone to the rail because it opened up, clear sailing, the horse that was on the rail as they came out dropped back. And Gaffleon took his horse behind the services horse. And actually caused, with that movement, tightened everybody up. And it never should have come down. Yes, there's no question that services horse came in or went out, shifted lanes. But if that horse was good enough to win, he would have been on the lead or even with services horse, and then it would have been a horse race,
Right.
But he dropped all the way back, what, he's 17th or something? I mean, so I mean, and services horse didn't interfere with the other two on the outside, It was only the Gaffleon horse who kind of made the problem in the first place. If he stayed inside, he had clear sailing. So that's my opinion.
Yeah, that's right. So, if you...
In a race like that, you don't take down the winner because of the outside two horses that were supposedly interfered with on for the win would have never beaten that horse. What was his name?
Gaffleon's horse?
No, I forgot who. Suez's horse,
Maximum security.
Maximum Security.
Right.
That horse would not. Nothing would have happened if he had stayed to the outs to the inside. He was in the second path, right behind Maximum Security.
Right.
And move to his right instead of moving to his left, where he had absolutely clear sailing to the line on the along the rail. So I think it was a bad call.
Right.
So, in any event, let's get to this final thing here.
Yeah, we're going to, we've got about 5 minutes. I know we're cutting down some of the races we wanted to look at, but there's just so much action on Saturday. You want to wrap it up with one more race?
Let's look at the race eight, because I mean, you've got two premium horses running in this race. Mm-hmm. Maybe even three. The 11 is you know, he the last five races win, second by 2 lengths, you know.
Right.
Chad Brown, well, he's a fair trainer.
Up and coming.
Yeah, he's a comer. Yeah. So nothing negative there, right? The other horse, Vasilika, his last five races, win, third by a half a length, win by a nose. So, and Hollendorfer on them, you know, and right. Pratt coming out. So you've got, those two are going to hook up. Now, the only other horse I see here that is Uni. He's Chad Brown too, huh?
Right. Yeah.
So he's only done win, third by 2.5. So those three horses, I mean, there's no way any of them should be left off your ticket if you were playing multi-race, plays. And then, yeah, I think you got to come down to 11 and 6 as the two win candidates.
Mm-hmm.
You see anything there?
Yeah, I think it might be tough to beat that trio.
Just... Yeah, I mean, that is that's a tough one.
Yeah, I mean, consistent horses and. I'm sure.
Yeah, all none of them are losers. Right. You know, the problem that you look at is 11's is his average pace or average price is the highest in the race. Okay, and maybe one more would be the 4 is also he's got. The best clothes. And the other one to look at would be Indian Blessing.
Okay, which is the 7.
Yeah, the 7.
Andy Spencer taking the ride from overseas.
Yeah, yeah. Well, he came in second to who was in the
significant form.
Who came in second in that Saratoga?
Well, he was second to Significant Form.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
So
this can be an outstanding race, which is the 8th at Keeneland, Santa Anita, and starting to rev up. And I know we covered a lot in an hour's time, and you know we'll be back next week. What's that?
I got my winners.
That's right. Yeah. Take it to the bank. So this has been Win at the Horses podcast. We've got Bill Kelly, my dad, who's the road warrior out there. Yes. And, covered the whole. How many states have you seen? Just about every state in the U.S.?
Believe it or not, I don't think I've been to Oregon.
Okay.
And I think we're almost every other one.
How about if you had to choose a place other than the places you've lived in? Where would you think about
I'd have
residing?
To look at my favorite tracks.
Yeah, right.
That's a tough one. I'm very happy here. I'll tell you, I was very impressed with Florida. I mean, I've been there before, but At least the time I was there, it was very nice, you know.
And the good thing with Sean moving out there, he can go see Red Sox games with not a big demand for tickets for the home team.
Yeah. Well, he's got the Tampa Bay apparently is a brutal sight. Well, he can see the minor league game because I think are they in Bradenton?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
So they're within, you know. I mean, yeah, you could walk to the be a long walk, but you could do it from this house.
I just heard an interview today.
You know, Miami is, you know, if they ever play the Red Sox again, they're not that far apart.
That's right.
So
maybe next week. Well, the Mets might have some more information on the manager. Who knows how long it's going to take? But you think they have somebody already wrapped up, or just it's going to be interviews and
everything? No, I don't. You know, most teams have an obligation to interview. You know,
right.
Several candidates.
Right.
The league doesn't like.
The Braves are first and second the Cards are first and second and top of the ninth with one out going here.
Okay. So, who are you pulling for, St. Louis?
Well, when I was very young, that was, you know, my team, of course, because I lived in St. Louis. Mm-hmm. But when we moved back to New York, in those days, the late 50s and 60s was just too hard to follow. They didn't have any, you know, there weren't many games on TV in those days. And when they started the Mets, I was from the first pitch to the last pitch this year.
Right. Which Dom Smith, that was a good ending to the season for him.
Oh, that was spectacular. Yeah. So, I mean, that was the game.
Yeah.
That, in all honesty, Callaway tried to lose nine ways to Sunday, and then that team wouldn't give up.
Yeah, right.
I mean, he did everything to lose that game.
Yeah. So, yeah, it was great to see.
Which is an indication he knew he was gone.
Yeah, that's right.
I mean, he put relievers in there that had no business. I mean, to put that, the guy that came from Cleveland, you know,
Lockett,
the game was tied, and the guy gave up a hit to Hunter, and the one time I think the catcher had thrown out three guys all year, and he threw us out the most difficult guy in the world, right? And then there's a homer, and then a single, and they finally take him out.
Yeah, give up five hits in a row, I think.
Yeah, I mean, it was just
wow,
just silly. So, right. I mean, he had no intention trying to win that game. And the Brave manager was trying like hell to win the game.
You know? I know, and they had everything wrapped up.
Yeah. So, in any event, that was good.
Yeah.
Are we still live?
Huh? Yeah, we're still live, yeah.
Okay.
No one cursed.
Go. I hope you have a great weekend. Everyone.
Yeah. Everyone have a great weekend. And, we wish everybody the best and great handicap and have fun. And we'll talk to you next week.
Good. Great. Good night, Joe.